Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Jane Maguire.
And I'm Ben Hobson.
Welcome to this special edition of the Runner's World podcast, covering off all things Nike from the launch of the Alpha Fly.
So the reason behind this special podcast is that you, Jane, went out to New York for what were Nike were calling the Olympic Summit. But it turned out to be a bit more than that.
Yeah, it was. We kind of had an inkling, I guess, that the new shoe might be coming for many different reasons. But you never quite know. But we got there and the Alpha Fly was, you know, definitely happening.
Yep.
And it would kind of seemed to make sense to get some insight into the shoe from the people that have made it. So we spoke to the Tony Bignall, who is the VP of Footwear Innovation, and we kind of talked about the new World Athletics rulings and whether the shoe changed because of them, and whether it was Kipchoge shoe and plates and stack height and all of that. And then after Tony, you'll hear from KJT and Dina about their prep for Tokyo. It was all recorded at the event, so it is not as kind of slick as what you're used to, but apologies for that.
It's also worth clarifying at this point that this isn't a sponsored podcast in any way, but this is just a direct reporting from the event, which we hope will help people with their decision-making, shoe-buying, whatever reasoning behind Alphafly.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
How did the learnings of the Next Percent affect the shoe design for the Alphafly?
So this shoe's just been a continuation from the Next Percent, and all we've done really is we've looked at where does the athlete need the resiliency and responsiveness the most, and it's really in the forefoot. That's where you create most of your power and effort and energy. So we took out the foam and then replaced it with a more resilient material, which is Zoom Air. Yeah. So that's been the focus, and I think that's the biggest difference. We've added a bit more cushioning and just brought in the Zoom Air.
Are they Kipchoge shoe? How are they different to Kipchoge shoe? There's been a lot of speculation around
the
drop on his shoe, I think, and all the plates, apparently.
Yeah, the Alpha Fly is the same. It's the same basic build-up of the one that he wore. Some of the confusion is when you work in patents, you have to file patents for the future. The rule is the first to file. So we file a lot of patents because we're trying lots of different prototypes all the time. So people see a pattern and they associate it with a shoe, and those things aren't necessarily true.
So his shoe only had one plate?
His shoe only had one plate. It's exactly the same as the Alpha Fly.
And it wasn't higher than 40 millimetres?
The ruling is a size 8.5. Okay. So Elliot's foot size is bigger than an 8.5. So, but that's the ruling is it 40 millimetres at 8.5? So a woman's 6 is smaller than 40. A lot smaller than 40. 8.5 is smaller than 40. A men's 15 will be bigger than 40. Yeah. So that's just normal. Like, that's just every shoe does that. It gets bigger for bigger sizes. So his shoe might measure more than 40, but that's not the ruling. The ruling is in that model at that size, is it 40?
Yeah. So you guys, sense? It does. You guys have said this shoe is legal, but have you heard that from World Athletics, or do you have to wait to get that?
No, we have to wait. So the rulings just came out on Friday. So, but as we understand it, as we look at the rulings, when you measure a men's 8.5, which is a European 42, okay. The height between the ground and the top of the sock liner is less than 40.
Okay.
So, and it has one plate. So
you're confident?
We're very confident, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But we'll wait and see. You know, we're here to respect the rules. But,
of course. Is it disheartening as a designer and innovator to have these new kind of barriers, I guess, in your way?
I think on one hand, it's... I don't know the word is. On one hand, it's a vote of confidence, or it's quite good that people are talking about it, because we feel like we're making a difference, and that's what we're trying to do. But on the other hand, it is a little bit limiting, and I personally think that it should be the line should be whether you're giving the athlete more energy back than they put in to the system. That feels like the guideline. Yeah. And all of these shoes, you don't get more energy back than you put in. So you know normally in a regular running shoe, you'd land and you lose 30-40% in heat or movement. And I think we're just trying to make the shoe more efficient. So I'd love to get to 99.9% efficient. And once you go over 100%, that feels like that's cheating.
Yeah.
But none of these shoes are anywhere close to that. We're just making them more efficient than we have in the past.
And how many miles do you think they've got in them?
I think they're really similar to regular running shoes. I mean, it's every you know this, but every shoe is different for every different person, because depending on how your foot strike is and how you are. But often people say 400 miles is a average. Or
okay, so they're not just a racing shoe.
They're absolutely not just a racing shoe, because the foams are proved to work. We've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles tested in this shoe. So it's. It should be as durable as any.
And how important is athlete feedback? So obviously Kipchoge broke 2 hours in them. Did he come back to you with comments, and did you tweak things or not really?
We've tweaked this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, specifically with his feedback, but also his training team, men and women. We've had hundreds and hundreds of athletes in this. Elliot is amazing. He'll handwrite notes for us. We meet him many, many times a year. We do face calls. We have his information every single day, every single run he runs. So there's a constant dialogue to make us better. And his standards are super high, which is great. It really helps us.
And what do the AirPods bring to the shoe? Because the Next Percent didn't have them. So where did that come from?
So if you look at general foams, they return sort of 60-70% of your energy back, just a regular foam. We have lots of those at Nike. The ZoomX foam returns about 80% of the energy back, and Zoom Air returns about 90% of the energy back. So we've just taken out something that's giving you 80% and replaced it with something that's giving you 90%-ish. So you're just making the system more efficient, more effective.
Yeah. And they kind of, I'm lucky enough to have just walked up and down in them. They do feel like that extra little bit of height kind of rocks you forward. Was that, and that's obviously intentional.
Totally intentional. I think that is the carbon fiber plate, and it's a bit like a rocking chair. It just guides you through and up to that position where you want to be pushing through the floor. Yeah. To give you put you in the most effective position to do your next foot strike. So, yeah, it's a combination of the foam for cushioning, the plate which rocks you into the right position, and then the Zoom airbags which really helps propel you and protect you for your next foot strike.
And when we look at the training shoe, will that be legal under the new regulations?
Under the regulations, that is not legal, because it's higher. There's more foam in the shoe, and the reason. We didn't know the regulations, but the reason we did that was to give the athlete more protection.
Because it's a training shoe, it's not a race shoe.
Yes, so it's a little bit counterintuitive. Honestly, we haven't done that necessarily to make an athlete faster. You've done it to make them more protected. So I think there's a little bit of we need to understand, like, how does the rules get enforced? Is it for people who finish on a podium, or who receive money, or just anybody that runs in a London marathon? Like, I think those are they're very different.
What did you envisage coming next for the Alphafly, and will that all be kind of put on pause now with all these new regulations?
Yeah, we've been working on the next one for a while, because that's just what we do. So now we all reflect on where the regulations are, because we want to obviously respect the rules. But our jobs, I think, is, like I said before, is to try and close that gap to make athletes more and more efficient. So it's really trying to work with those three things of you're trying to protect an athlete with cushioning, you're trying to propel them forward, and you're trying to make the shoes light, because it just makes it better. And
do you
eventually,
know how much they weigh?
I don't know. Okay. I can get you the answer. I'm sorry.
No.
I just know they're light.
They're super light.
When you look at them, they don't look light, but when you pick them up, it just is that.
Yeah.
And I think there's also something about like a right weight too. You know, the right weight on the end of your body that feels like it's enough to protect you. It's not too light. It's not too much. And it feels like we're getting close to that kind of good balance.
Yeah, and we've not mentioned Tokyo, which is obviously coming up really soon. They will be out in time.
Yes. Okay. I think there's some shoes, pairs coming out in the coming week or weeks.
Oh, okay.
And then the cascades up through the months following. So, yes.
And will the spikes be out in time too?
Yes, that's the plan.
Okay. And how important is sustainability? Obviously, you've launched the new line of like more sustainable shoes. How important is that when you're looking at this kind of level of shoe?
Yeah, I think it's critical because we know that what we do in innovation generally cascades through the company, cascades across the categories. So we spend an awful lot of time on that. And there's some big ones in the shoe. I mean, the Flyknit is an incredibly sustainable material. The air soles are really, really sustainable. We have 90% of all of the waste goes back into the airbags. We make the airbags ourselves. So in every air sole that you see, there's always 50% of reground waste in there. And all of the factories that we use have 100% renewable energy. So it's something we take super, super seriously. Yeah. And it comes back to that point of, you know, if you can't get outside and play sport, then we need to do our bit. We make a lot of shoes, so we feel very responsible.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
How is prep for Tokyo 2020 going?
Yeah, prep is going good. The minute that the New Year's Eve bell struck, you know, 12 o'clock, it was 2020, and it sort of seemed like a huge reality for me. I've been waiting for this moment since, 2016. I've moved life, completely changed my life, and I'm just, preparation for the actual competition is going well, but mentally I just can't believe it's 2020 and it's happening already.
How did it feel, looking back at last year, winning gold in Doha?
Yeah, that was one of, the greatest, sporting moment of my life, maybe the moment of my life. It still feels like a bit of a dream, like when I watch it back, like the highlights just represent the competition because it was done so fast. It was, all done in evening sessions. But, to have that, to just be able to have that medal and have that record, it means a lot to me. So it's easier going into the Olympics knowing that, I've ticked off some of the things I wanted to achieve in my career.
So do you have to kind of put that in a box and forget about it and focus on 2020, or is that like a massive drive every morning when you get up?
The massive drive is when you haven't achieved those things, so you do have to put it in a box and just be like, oh, that didn't happen, like literally like 2020, fresh year, new me, new start. And I feel like that definitely drives me for sure. You've just got to like vacate what you've achieved in the past and just focus on the moment and whether you've done good or bad. I feel like that should be the mentality that you take going forward.
And you've been really open about the highs and the lows of your career. How do you cope with the stress and the pressure, and how much do you think your kind of mental attitude drives what happens on the day?
The stress and pressure comes when you're, you know, not prepared fully. I feel like in the past I've not been prepared when I've been on the line, whether that be an injury, whether that be, you know, certain events not going technically right. So all you can do is focus on what you can control in the day, in the moment, on the day. And whether that be every training session, you just try and get that little bit better. And then on the day, you know, as long as you get to the start line and you know you've done everything you can to be ready for that, then there's no point in stressing because you've done the best you can do. And at the end of the day, that's all anyone can do.
Yeah. And how does it work? Like, what does your training look like? Because you're juggling so many different events. It's not like a, like, how does that work?
Yeah, it's very difficult to be a heptathlete. You've got to, being a heptathlete in 2020 and 2019, you can't just be average at all the events. You've got to be literally like good at a number of different events. It's not just like an average doe kind of event. So yeah, juggling all the different techniques, juggling the strength work, juggling the aerobic work, sprint work, power work. It's a lot, and I do leave a lot to my coach, but a lot of it is down to experience as well. And I've, you know, been to two Olympics already, so I feel like I've gained a lot of experience, and I know what to do with myself now, and I understand myself more, which is a huge win.
And how do you, like, can you sleep the night before? Like, how do you kind of get yourself to kind of relax before? Because I think any runner or anyone who's ever done an event, that night before, how do you calm yourself down and get ready?
This might be a little bit left wing, but I watched a video of Will Smith talking about how he bungee jumped. I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
You need to type into YouTube, and basically the premise of it is, why worry before the moment you have to do it? Literally, like, you'll be in bed the day before worrying. You'll wake up, you'll feel sick, you won't eat your breakfast because you're worrying about this moment, whatever that might be. Or in my case, like a competition, and there's absolutely no point in worrying until you're actually doing it. And then when you're doing it, it's never as bad as you feel like it's going to be. So I sleep quite well.
That's such good advice. You're gonna have to watch that.
Yeah, you should.
And then my last question is, like, obviously Tokyo is a massive drive at the moment, but what will come next? Like, what will be after Tokyo?
I don't know what will come next. Obviously it'll be the next Olympic cycle, but for now that's my main goal. That's been my main goal. If you asked me last year about the World Champs in Doha, I still would have said Tokyo. So for me, it's such a, I think athletes live their lives in 4-year cycles. So after Tokyo, my main goal will be holiday, I think.
And of course. And how exciting is all the new technology? Obviously we're here with Nike. Have you tried the new shoes yet, or is that?
Yeah, it was I tried them today.
So you're wearing the brand new Alpha Fly.
But yeah, no, I flew around the catwalk tonight in these. Yeah, and absolutely loved them. Feel super comfy, and yeah, Nike, it's so important to have the right kit when you compete, and you have to feel comfortable and confident. So yeah, I'm loving my outfit tonight.
How is prep for Tokyo 2020 going?
It's been going well, I think, so far. Obviously I haven't raced yet, but I think it's going well. Most importantly, I'm in one piece, which at this time of the year is one of the most important things. It's going well, going swimmingly. Winter training is hard, like it is every year, but yeah.
After the world champions, you're like the golden girl, everything. Oh. You're making a face, but you are. How do you cope with the pressure, and how do you separate it from your kind of performance on the day?
Firstly, thank you, first and foremost. And weirdly enough, I think about it in a weird way, because I don't see pressure as a bad thing, because, like, I'm a sprinter. At the end of the day, we all pause, the gun goes, and you have to run as fast as you can. Like, we're a high pressure event, so you have to embrace it, because that is the adrenaline rush that you need. And I'm one of those people that loves it. Like, I've always been one of those people that's like, I love the highest roller coaster, I love traveling as fast as I can, I love all those little nerve-wracking
off to
moments.
Thought Park.
Honestly I've been so many times, but I love that kind of stuff. Like, I am that kind of, I'm just that kind of person. I love adrenaline, so as you can imagine, as a sprinter, that is absolutely perfect. And when the stakes are high, that is when I tend to absolutely love it. Like, it's just so much fun. Like, is she gonna do it, is she not, who knows?
Watch the space.
Exactly.
And what are you thinking about what are you thinking about on the start line? Or are you just thinking about, like, you, or are you looking around looking at other people?
Oh no, I'm just looking at the finish line, in my lane, focusing, minding my own business, not looking at the crowd, not minding what's happening around me with whoever's in the race, just focusing on doing the best that I can, because at the end of the day, I don't have the power to control anything else apart from my performance. So I need to just focus on controlling the controllables, which is me. Yeah. At the end of the day, hope that my performance is the best. If not, you try again next year.
And you come across, like, even talking to you now, as like a really positive person. How do you think important is that mindset, kind of, to be positive going into an Olympics?
Thank you very much, first and foremost. But I think it is really important, because that's just me. Like, I'm in this position because I love what I do. I love running really, really fast. It's really fun. It's just fun, quite frankly. And I just think that sometimes, I don't know, I did history at uni, so I was very, like, when I used to go to uni all the time, I found it fascinating, but I'd always study, like, death tolls and epidemics and political drama and all these things. So the fact that the most stressful thing in my life is how I run from A to B is amazing. And of course, like, it is high stakes. Everybody does want you to do well. It is on a big stage, so I'm not saying it's easy, but it's also beautifully simple at the same time.
Yeah.
And when that is something that is so important to you, and that if you do well at it, your life can be amazing, and you can make so many people happy, and you can make your parents cry, your family cry, and you can make the whole nation proud, I think is a really unique situation to be in. And I feel really lucky that that's what I do. So that's why I'm positive, really, because it's cool, and if it goes well, fab, and if it doesn't, try again next time. Yeah.
And how important is it for you to get, like, other young women into this sport?
I think it is really important, because I look at how being in sport, an elite sport, and has changed my life, and not just, like, because it's my job, but also it's given me so much confidence. It's given me so many valuable transferable skills to, like, team building. It's given me the ability to believe in myself, to concentrate. It's made me have to focus, have to be really confident in my own abilities. And I think that's something that so many people, not just young women, but people can benefit from. And obviously sport makes you healthier as well, which is great. So I just think, yeah, it's just a positive life thing, isn't it, sport?
No, of course. And how do you prepare yourself the night before? How do you get to sleep? How do you kind of settle?
Normally quite easily, weirdly enough. Yeah,
I'd say weird. KJT said the same. I'm like, yeah. How? How are you people sleeping?
Because I have to. If you don't sleep, you're not going to win the next day. So, quite easily. I think it's just because it's a moment that you've been waiting for, really. So there is an element of excitement, but there's also a knowledge that the next day you've got a big job to do, and sleep is a massive part of that. So that's just another thing on the checklist.
And then we're here at the Nike Summit. Have you tried the new shoes, the new track, like, spikes?
Haven't tried the new shoes or spikes that they've released, like, today. So that'll be exciting. But as for being in the kit right now, because obviously, I mean, I know we're on a podcast, but I'm wearing the new kit, which feels so amazing. And I love how it shines in the light and shimmers and kind of iridescent changing colours. So it's going to be a super exciting year for everybody. Obviously, it's the Olympics. But and super exciting year for Nike as well.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.